I'm going to read several passages of scripture. You can turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. That will be the key text that I'll look at, but I'm going to look at several passages of scripture this morning. And if you would allow me, for time's sake, so that when I start on this, you can turn to the first one, and then I'll read a few other verses to you and see if you can figure out the subject that I'm dealing with this morning. Deuteronomy 29:29. Don't be afraid, the Old Testament's still the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Proverbs 3:32 says, for the froward is abomination of the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The Bible says in Matthew 13:35 that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. This is Jesus speaking. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Do you see a common phrase in that? God has a secret. Now, it's not that he wants it to remain secret. It's just he's careful who he reveals his secret to. Amen. The secret things of God is not something that's just given to anybody for any reason. And there's a purpose behind that. And I hope to share a little bit about that as we think together on these lines this morning. God has always, from the very beginning of creation, spoken to his people. The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They heard the voice of God. We know the Bible teaches in Hebrews that God, who at sundry times and times past in diverse manner spoke unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He's always had a way of speaking to people. He spoke to the generations past through prophets. Then he spoke through his Son while he was here. The thing is, we know that Jesus is not physically here with us now. That's what troubled the disciples' hearts so much when they heard he was going away. They thought, how can we go to him and get the advice we need and the direction that we need if he's not physically here with us? How will we know when we have a question he's not here? So even though Jesus came and Jesus died and Jesus rose and Jesus is coming again, Jesus did not physically sit at your breakfast table today. He is in you and he loves you. And he is real, but physically, he did not sit with you today. We also know that he speaks through Scripture. The Word of God is given to us to direct our paths. And we know when we hide his Word in our heart, then he orders our steps and how important it is to know what the Word of God says. But here's the problem. There are certain things that, whether you want to agree with it or not, there are certain things that God will only reveal to us by his Spirit. He spoke through the apostles, and the apostles preached, but yet, even though that they preached, there were some things that still they depended upon the Spirit of God. Can I give you a simple example? Let's say this week that you're without a job and you have applied for jobs everywhere. And suddenly, out of nowhere, you're offered 3 jobs on the same day. Which job do you take? You say, well, I'll go to the Bible and get the answer. The Bible's not going to tell you to work for this company or that company. That company's name will never be mentioned in this book. I'm not diminishing the power of the word. I'm saying you've got to make a critical decision. And that decision will impact you. It will impact days to come in your life. It'll impact your family. It'll impact the work environment where you're going to. And while God will provide maybe through all of those jobs, one job is the perfect job for you. And you don't know which one that is. But God says you don't have to worry about that. You know, oftentimes the apostles, they didn't know where to go. One time Paul was praying, where should I journey? Where should I travel? I don't know whether to go in this direction. I know I'll go to Jerusalem. But the Spirit wouldn't let him go. They were in Asia Minor and they were planting churches and seeing great things happen. And there was one country that they wanted to go to, but the Spirit forbid them to go. We know Philip was led by the Spirit down into the desert, left a great revival there in Samaria. The presence of God was coming down in a great way. Souls were being saved. It looked absolutely like that was the place meant for him, but God led him all the way into the desert for one eunuch that was there to present the gospel to that one person. In other words, God led him to a dry place. He led him out of a place where there was plenty, but yet God gave him direction as to where he was going. How did he know that? The Spirit led him. Even Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In life, there'll be times that you'll be led of God into dry places. The question you always have to ask yourself, anytime you find yourself in a wilderness place, a dry place, you have to ask yourself 2 questions. Did the Spirit lead me here or did the devil drive me here? Because it'll always be one of those 2 things. Either it's a place that the devil has driven you to try to pull the joy of God out of your heart and to somehow try to weaken your witness and weaken your faith, or else the Lord Jesus Christ led you there through the Holy Spirit to do a work that you don't see right now, but yet he had a secret. He said, I want you to go. He didn't know the end result. He didn't know what he would face. He didn't know what he would encounter. But he knew one thing with all assurance, that the Spirit had led him there. Well, God does the same thing for us. He wants to reveal himself to us. Turn to John 14, if you will, and I'll show you the importance of why I'm dealing with this message today, and I think the significance of it. I want you to turn to just a couple of passages with me to help us understand how God reveals his secret and the secrets to us, the secret things. In John 14, let's go down to verse 16. These are the words of Christ. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Then he tells us who this comforter is, even the Spirit of truth. So he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's in layman's terms, but that's exactly what's taking place. Watch the next phrase. Concerning the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So what he says is that we're in a real dilemma here as a church. Let me tell you what the dilemma is. When you crave the Spirit's feeling in a church and in the people of the church and in your personal life, once the Spirit is indwelling you and filling you, you're still living in the world. And the world doesn't know him, And the world will not receive him because the world can't see him. So there is this mighty power that is invisible to the world, that they cannot see that power. And the world's saying to you, if God is so real and this is of God and God is directing you, then why don't you tell me what's going on? Let me give you a word of advice. You cannot explain the direction of the Holy Spirit to a world that is lost, that does not even believe that he exists. I get so weary of people trying to convince atheists that they suddenly need to believe in God whom they don't even believe that exists. A fellow one time scolded me, about how wrong that I was and leading people astray and how right that he was, because there is no God. There never has been a God. God is just a figment of our imagination. And you know all that I said back to him? If God doesn't exist, why do you spend so much time fighting somebody that doesn't exist? But let me tell you something. It's too late to tell me that God is not real. Once the Holy Spirit comes into our life and changes us and fills us and endues us with power, God says, I start to direct you, and the Lord will show you things, tell you things that makes no sense to the world whatsoever. Well, why does he do that to us, preacher? To prepare us, to help us, to give us boldness, to give us confidence. But don't expect the world to understand it. Don't even expect a lot of people sitting in churches to understand it. There's people in this church, you don't have a clue what's going on. You sit here week after week and you think you're at the Wimbledon. Why do people run around? If God didn't tell you to run around, you're fine. But don't lay your hand to anybody that does. Maybe God's getting them ready to outrun the devil this week. I don't know. That's between them and God. I didn't tell them to do it. You say, well, I don't feel like standing. You don't have to. But don't lay your hand to people that do. The Spirit of God moves in different ways at different times. You don't know what somebody has gone through this week. You don't know what somebody will face this week. You don't know the battles that they're in. You don't know the struggles that's going through. And you don't know if God just whispered over in their ear and told them a secret that they can't tell you, because to tell you would mean that it could hinder the work of God. But yet they know it in the depths of their heart, and they know it's the right thing, and they know they're going the right way, and God has given them confidence to understand. Listen, God only tells secrets to people he can trust. Be careful who you tell your secrets to. Once Samson revealed the secret of his power, he revealed his heart. Once he revealed his heart, Delilah made sure they got his hair. They found the source of his power. Sometimes you got to be careful who you share your secrets with. When God speaks it to you, don't go to social media. Don't go to it. People run those things, they're heathens, they're ungodly. You heard me right, they're ungodly. Everything that the world, see, the world doesn't understand this. They don't understand why people get so happy in the middle of pain and trouble. They don't understand why sick people still praise God. They don't understand why people that in the hour of death can still rise to their feet and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They don't understand any of that because they don't have the Spirit. The Bible says, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me tell you why the Lord keeps some things secret. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start with verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So see, it seems like a secret. They can't understand. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, these secret things is God's way of blessing us and sharing His glory. Don't get the wrong impression from this passage. We have no glory of our own. Our glory is a reflection of His glory. And he goes on to say, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now keep your finger right there. Let me pause for a minute. Do you know what he's saying? He kept the plan of salvation hid from the princes of this world. Who are the princes? The rulers of darkness. He kept his plan hid from the devil. He kept his plan hid from those that followed the devil. What they were doing, they thought they were stopping God. They thought they could kill God. They thought that they could put God in a grave. They thought that if they killed Jesus, then the message would stop at a tomb. But God said, I kept that a secret, but my son knew the secret. And that's why for the joy that was set before him, that he could say, I'll endure the cross, because he saw more than the pain. He saw more than the suffering. He saw more than death. He saw more than grave. He saw himself rising victorious to establish a church of the living God and endue that same church with the power of God, saying, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive now and forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. If the devil knew it, all he would have done was made sure he wasn't crucified. Now hold on. I can't get theologically deep with you. I'm not able to. Not because of you, because of me, but I do know things in country terms. The devil don't know as much as what you think he knows. We give the devil too much credit. We give him too much power and too much authority. We think he knows all things. We think, some people actually think he's equal to God. Some people think that spiritual darkness and the rulers of spiritual darkness, that they're equal to God. Hey, the Lord can send one angel and destroy 185,000. He is no match for our majesty. He is no threat whatsoever to the kingdom of God and the King of glory. But if we put him in the wrong category, if we're not careful, we'll start telling him things. And when he hears those things, and the rulers of darkness hear those things, they start to see that's working. And when they see that it's working, then suddenly they'll apply the pressure. And they'll keep doing that over and over again. They wouldn't have known if you didn't tell them. If you didn't tell them how bad you feel in the morning, they wouldn't know you felt bad. They can't get in your heart. They don't know what you're feeling. They're not at one with you. God is at one with you. He indwells you. We're in him and he's in us. He is touched. Jesus is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He feels what we feel. The devil doesn't feel what we feel. He doesn't. doesn't know. All he knows is what you tell him. And if you tell him how bad you feel, how much in doubt you are, if you tell him that you doubt God in any way, he'll put the pressure on. But if you tell him in the middle of your problem, God is in control and he rides on the storm and he's never failed me, and you tell him that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, the called according to his purpose. If you tell him the battle is the Lord's, then suddenly the devil realizes it's not working. But if you speak the wrong thing, he'll take that. He'll use that. Look what it says. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The problem with a lot of Christian folks, they only go by what they see and what they hear. It has to be so because somebody told me. That's the way it's got to be because I saw it. And they go by what they see and what they hear instead of what we ought to do, look inside of our heart. Why is that important? A simple thought dawned on me this week. See, what's in you comes out. We've said that a lot. But did you ever stop to think about this? When God told Noah to build the ark, he told him to pitch it within and to pitch it without. You get the picture? Pitch it within, pitch it without. You know what that meant? What was on the inside was also on the outside. God says, you will be on the outside what you are on the inside. That's the way it works. So if the Spirit of God's in your heart, then the Spirit of God will be around you just like he is in you. If the blood of Christ is in you, the blood of Christ is on you. And when the blood of Christ is on you, the enemy, he can't conquer you for the power of the blood and the power of the Spirit. He can't win. He'll attack you, but he can't win. He's going to lose in the end every time. He's going to lose. And he went on to say, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The battle we face. Are you more dependent on the spirit of the world? Or can I put it in layman's terms? The spirit of the age. Or the spirit of God. The spirit of the age will change the message of the book to fit the culture that it's in. The spirit of God never has to change his mind. And he never will. But once you hear some things from God in your spirit, then he reveals that to you. There's no convincing you otherwise. Well, how can I hear these things, preacher? How can I know what God wants to tell me, what secret God wants to share? Give you the best illustration I can as I close. Most people have one of these. Believe it or not, you can actually call on one of these. Most people don't, but They do everything else with them, but you can actually make a phone call on one of these. For real. You can talk to a live person. Honestly. Now, this phone, if you use the phone feature, which in the beginning, that's all that it was. My first one that I had was in a car and it had a big bag with a battery in it. I'm telling you, the thing was bigger than a Sears and Roebuck catalog. And everywhere you go, you had to carry that big bag along with you. But now, you know, they keep trying to advance the signal and trying to make it so that you're able to connect easier. Now, if I pick this up and call you and I don't get you, there's really only three basic reasons why you didn't answer my call. Number one, you're out of range. You didn't answer because you didn't get it, because you're too far out of range. Someone called me the other day. They got a little nasty with me and said, I called you three times and couldn't get you. I said, man, I minister to people that they don't even know there's one of these. Sometimes I'm in places I might be 2 hours before I can get back in service. But you can get out of service. Number two, you can call somebody. You used to get a busy signal, but they could be on the line with somebody else, which means that they're busy and couldn't take your call. Sometimes people don't hear the secret of God because they're out of range. Sometimes they're just too busy. But then the last thing that you have on this, it rings, and you got caller ID on these things, don't you? Now, come on, be honest. If it comes up spam risk, do you answer it? Nobody answer this next question. In your heart only, promise? You look at a certain name. You don't answer it. That can be for a lot of reasons. You just look at it, you see it, and you say, oh, brother, not right now. I don't have time for that. You see the name, you don't answer it. And then you say something like this. If it's important, they'll leave me a voicemail and I'll check it. If it's important, they'll leave a voicemail. In other words, I'm more important than what they have to say. What I'm doing is more important. I want you to hear what I'm saying. God will not tell you anything if you're out of range. God will not tell you anything if you're too busy for him. And God will never leave you a voicemail. One day, he will call and you'll refuse to answer and you'll get yourself in a bind and you'll say, God, why didn't you tell me? And God will say, I called you 10 times and you didn't pick the phone up to hear it, because you knew if you did, you knew what I'd say and you already made your mind up. You were going your way. So I'm not in the business of trying to convince you. You ought to be in the business of getting on the same page with me. God's saying we've got to go with him or we'll never find out what he's trying to reveal to us. You're here this morning. You're saying, I need to hear from God. Are you in range? Are you too busy? You've got to take time. Some things you'll only find out in solitude with God. You've got to shut the world out and everything else out. Find you a place where it's just you and God. Because this involves two things, sending and receiving. You're either sending or you're receiving to get the message. I can stand here and preach and preach and preach and preach, but if you're not willing to receive it, it won't do you any good. God will send you message after message after message, But he's not going to leave you a voicemail. He's going to say, I'm telling you, if you want to hear it, you got to get close enough to me to hear it. I don't know anybody's heart here today. I'm not trying to be pretentious in any way. I don't know anyone's heart. The only heart that I know is my own. But I think most of you would agree. There's times that we get closer to God, and there's times, for some reason, we get farther away. The church is going into the battle of its life as we near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we hear, our job is not to explain it to others and explain it to the world. Some said, don't preach like that. That'll bring confusion. Not if it's of the Spirit, it doesn't bring confusion. God's not the author of confusion. But there'll be things that God will speak to you about that you've never been moved to do before. They'll come, they'll sing this morning. He's trying to send you the message. He's trying to get through. Are you out of range? Are you too busy? Or do you know it's God calling? And you're saying, I'm going to put it off. I just don't want to answer that right now. What I'd advise you to do is get close to Him. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.